This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My dear respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My brothers, we are being pulled in two different directions. My sisters, we are being pulled in two different directions. We are being called in two different directions. You know, da'wah means to call someone. And there's a da'wah that's been given to our right side and a da'wah that's given to our left side. A da'wah that is telling us to go one way and a da'wah that is telling us to go another way. There's a call from this side, there's a call from that side. Allah Azza wa Jal, He calls us. And the shaitan, he calls us. Allah is calling us. Every time, Allah is calling us. You and me, we are His servants. He cares for us. He loves us. He wanted us to be in this world. And one thing I want to say to you, brothers, is that everything on the Day of Judgment is going to work out to be fair. Everything is going to work out to be fair. What does that mean? That means nobody's going to come on the Day of Judgment and say, Why did Allah create all of us and He knew that some of us could go to Jahannam, and since He knew we're going to Jahannam and He knows we're going towards that and He knows we're going to end up in that, then why did He create us? Does that sometimes occur in the mind? Yes or no, guys? Yes or no, guys? Come on. Admit to it, man. Come on. I know Mulvi Sahib's here. Yeah? He's not going to give the next Jummah khutbah about you guys, yeah? Admit to yes or no? Yes. Yes, thank you. I constantly get this question from people. And most people, they're too shy to ask you this question. Because they think that, you know what? If I ask this question, the Mulvi Sahib or the Sheikh is going to think bad of me. Oh my God. You got things like this in your astaghfirullah ji. Suno ji aaj kal ke jo bachche hai. Listen to today's youth, what kind of questions they come up with. Let me do a quick stats here, yeah? If any of you sitting here has never ever had experience of waswasa. Waswasa means a whispering from the shaitan. Whether he whispered to you that the Quran is not true, whether he whispered to you that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not true, whether he whispered to you that Allah may not exist, whether he whispered to you that do you really think that in the grave you're going to wake up and it's all going to be according to your Quran? What about the Hindus? What about the Christians? What about the Jews? What about the Christians? All the other. If you've never experienced any of these waswasas or whisperings in your life, ever, not even once, put your hand up. Shaykhs? Look at you guys, man. Moli sahab, dekh rahe? Moli sahab ne bhi haath nahi uthaya. Even Moli sahab didn't put his hand up. And you know me? I'm not going to put my hand up. Do you see that? All of us are thinking, yeah, I'm the only one that's getting some of these thoughts now and again. And you know, the reality is that it's all of us get this sometimes here and then. You know why? A thief does not go to a place to steal unless he knows he's going to get something from there. If there's an empty house, door open, nothing inside, does a thief go inside there and rob that place? He's crazy. What's he going to do? He's going to pick up the rats off the floor or something. The mice off the floor. What's he going to do? A thief don't go to a place where there's nothing to steal. He will go for a place that the more precious the place, the more things it has, the more robbers will plan. They'll make long plans of how to steal that place. So what does that mean? That means you Muslims, I'm a Muslim, you're a Muslim. A shaitan never comes to a heart that is empty. If you've got valuable iman in there, if you've got valuable belief in there, he comes because there's value in that. You understand, brothers? Guys, you understand, yes or no? Talk to me, guys. Understand, yes or no? Say yes, mashallah. At least I know you're awake. So shaitan comes to me and you because there's something valuable in there. And he comes with this waswasa, this injection. He wants to make me and you feel, you know, all these thoughts. So we think, oh, ya inna lillahi, inna lillahi, I've got these thoughts, inna lillahi, I'm exploding because of these thoughts. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And they said exactly, they said the same thing. They said, Messenger of Allah, we find certain things in our hearts, certain thoughts that occur in our minds, that we would rather become burnt ashes than to utter these waswasa and the whisperings that we get in our minds. What did Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? He didn't say, okay, give me whispering number one and I'll deal with it. Give me whispering number two and I'll show you how can I deal with it. Give me the whispering number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, do you find yourselves fighting those whisperings, those thoughts that occur in your mind sometimes? They said, yes. Then you know what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said after that? According to a sahih hadith of Muslim, he said, ذَلِكَ مَحَضُ الْإِيمَانِ. He said, that is pure 100% Iman. The fact that you've got whisperings and sometimes shaitan comes and starts saying funny things to you, the fact that that happens, he's come because you got value inside. You got valuables inside your heart. You got something worthy. What have you got, brothers? Something? Worthy. Wardi. That's it. Wardi. I've got to start learning English again, man, in Scotland, yar. So something worthy inside you. So he's come because he wants to take that from you. That's the shaitan. But the question is, are you fighting it? If you find yourself struggling against it, then you've got 100% iman. Organ. Mahadul iman means pure iman. It's like pure, absolute, organic iman. And that is certification from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't sit there and think, man, I'm a bad Muslim because I got these waswasas sometimes come and I hate you when it comes. I hate you when it comes. I'm just sitting here now. Somebody, you know, sent me a message through my Facebook and they said, you know, I've got these thoughts occurring and the shaitan, you know, he puts the waswasa. I said, you know what to do? The next time the waswasa comes, man, this is what I did. This is what I did to get rid of the waswasas. Because it just happens. It just comes and it just makes you think about something silly. When it happened to me, you know what I did? I learned a trick. And the shaitan, I tell you that. The shaitan, he don't want to come back again. You know why? Because if any waswasa occurs here, I say to him, I say, Jazakallah. Jazakallah. You can say, wow, I'm saying Jazakallah to the shaitan. Yeah, Jazakallah. You know why? Because he just reminded me to do the dhikr of Allah. I say, La ilaha illallah, 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 la ilaha illallah. And I say, shaitan, Jazakallah. You want me to think bad about Allah? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to send it back your way, man. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Next time, shaitan don't want to come and tell me those stuff because he knows I'm going to thank him. I'm going to look for his hand to shake it, man. You know what I'm saying? Because the shaitan wants something valuable from me, I'm going to give him something to think about. He don't want me to do Allah dhikr. He wants me to sit there and think, oh my God, oh my God, I've got all these thoughts in my head. Oh my God, what's going to happen to me? That's what he wants me to do. And I don't care about that. I will do dhikr and I will smack it back in his face. So I'm asking all of you to do that. But why did I start this for? I'm telling you that the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they face the same things. So what does that mean? That means the shaitan comes to you to call you, to take you away, to pull you away. He's got a call. What's his call? His call is that if you do what he tells you to do, you're going to enjoy it, brother. You're going to be in ecstasy. You're going to be in, you know, a virtual Jannah of this world. He's going to put your head into Jannah if you follow what he say. And shaitan, what Allah said, زَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Allah said that in the Quran. That shaitan makes you feel that the actions that are out there, he wants you to do, he makes it glamorous to you. He makes it feel so nice to you. He wants you to go in that direction. So basically, he will give you every single step he can. Every step he can to take you that way. But Shaitan is clever. He's played this game too many times. He's not going to take you in one step. He will take you in several little steps. Like imagine if somebody wanted to kidnap a kid or a child from here, he'll first show you a little sweetie, isn't it? They'll take him over there. He said, oh, put that there. Let's eat this. You want another one? Come over there. I'll give you another sweetie. Yeah, so Sputara goes over there, gets another sweetie, then over there, another sweetie, and over there, straight in the car, and gone. Guys, don't take sweets from strangers, yeah? I'm just telling you guys, just because you heard Molly Sahab saying that, yeah, don't. You know, last time I came here, apparently I spoke about that lollipop, yeah? So I'm saying, don't get too high on these things. So what I'm trying to say to you is that Shaitan, what does it have? Allah said, khutuwatu shaitan. Shaitan has small steps. He don't take you in one big step. He takes you in small steps. He'll say, do this first. Oh, that's okay. That's okay. Don't worry. Don't worry. Everyone's doing it. It's okay. It's okay. You're only just looking at her. You're not doing anything else. You're just looking. You're just listening to the stuff. You're not doing nothing more. When the guy looks first time, he's got natural springs. You know, we've got natural springs in our eyes. When you look at haram first time, there's springs that will spring it back. And you don't want to look at it because you know that it's wrong for you to look at it. But when a person looks and he looks and he looks, you know the springs get loose. If you have a particular device that's got springs in it, you're kind of using it, moving, it gets loose. The same way, you know the springs in the eyes, they get loose. The person gets used to looking. He thinks there's nothing wrong with it. And then he sees everyone else looking. He says, there's nothing wrong with it. Everyone's doing it. It's all right, yar. All right. So everyone's looking at it. He thinks it's okay. But the next thing, what does Shaitan do? He takes the next step. He says, listen. Ooh, that's nice to listen to. Ooh, nice to listen. Ooh. Then he starts making the imagination go a bit hula baloos. He hasn't even gone near there. He just looked, he listened, he imagined. And now his imagination starts saying, I wonder if... And then he starts to think more and more, and then he wants to go close. Then he wants to touch. He wants to talk. These are all in hadith. Step by step by step. A person will listen to music. You guys call it music. What do you call it? Music, yeah? Sick, yeah? Music, sick. Same thing, man. Anyway, what happens if a person listens to it the first time? He says, nothing wrong with it. It's not affecting me. Nothing wrong with it. So he listens to it. But then he listens to another one, listens to another one, listens to another one. Then he sees some of them doing that. And he wants to do the same thing. He wants to move like them. He wants to act like them. He says, you know, instead of saying, how are you? He says, what's up? Where did he get that from? I look at these youngsters like, what do you do that for? What's wrong with you? You got some kind of muscle spasm or something. What's happened to you? And they talk like that. They talk like with the shoulders like that. And even when they talk to you, they talk big. They talk big. And even they got so much hand movement. I went to one shop one time, this is in London. It must have been this 17-year-old assistant in the shop. I'm trying to buy a wire for my internet, just a wire. So she's trying to explain to me about what kind of wire I need. She goes, you know the wire that you need, yeah? I'm thinking, whoa. You're raving or something, what's the matter? You know the wire that you need, yeah? The wire that you need. You know, I'm trying to find it over there, but, I'm thinking, what is she doing? Like, just tell me where the wire is. Don't like do all of that and all of that, you know? And she was moving her hands more than she was speaking. I just sat, I just stood there and I thought, you know, I just need the why. I wasn't rude to her, but I thought, you know, what is wrong with these youngsters? Why are they moving so much? You know why they're moving so much? Because the rap artists and the music culture and the people on those, they see them, automatically they start copying them. That's another step, brother. You've been given dawah. He's called you, but without you realizing it. So you listen to them, you want to act like them. You want to be like them. You want to sing like them. You want to cuss like them. That's what youngsters want to do. They want to live the life. And they want to go out there and they want to walk like them. So basically they will walk, yeah? Instead of walking with buttons closed, they want to open the buttons. Open the buttons. They will have their jacket started coming off their shoulders. They'll have the trousers basically going halfway down. Get it? It's like advertisement. You want to see advertisement? Stay behind me. They show advertisements because they're halfway down. They've got baggy trousers all falling down like they're walking like that. Down the street. And then they want a hairstyle like goes like that. One eye covered sometimes. What's up, man? What's up, man? What's up, man? And where did they get that from? They got it from the culture that is displayed to them. And it's just, you see it. They're going towards that now. And you think there's nothing wrong with that. That's fine, brothers. There's nothing wrong with that. But, because those artists, they swear, this guy swears. Every other word, F. Every other word, MF. Every other word, some other swear. Every other word, something else. And he swears. And he thinks it's cool to swear. Because he saw it, he's just copying it. And you don't realize he's been taken step by step. They wear a certain design gear, he wants to wear the same thing. They wear their trousers in a certain way, he just wants to wear it like that. They wear their, you know, now sometimes, you know, some of these guys, there's a new trend that you wear two socks that are of different colors. That you wear two shoes, different pairs of shoes, one of this style and one of that style. Even football players are doing this now. They got this one orange one and one blue one. And they're playing on the pitch. Isn't that right, guys? Guys, come on, man. I know Melissa's here, right? Come on. It's true, right? Some of the players, not all of them, they wear two, they got shoes here, or trainers. One is one color and the other one is another color. Isn't that right? And sometimes I think, man, if I was playing with that player, I'd be confused. Which leg am I playing with? Are there two humans or one human, man? Can you imagine, like, he's got orange and blue, another player's got orange and blue, and if the two oranges come together, I think those are the two legs, yeah? And they're confused. But anyway, what I want to say to you is that whatever they do, you want to copy. The designer gear, you want to wear that. They use a certain spray, perfume, you want to have that perfume. Why? Because you are ultimately just becoming a product. You are a product. You're just a piece of flesh that gives somebody out there money. That's all it is. Brothers, if you haven't woken up, sisters, you haven't woken up yet. You're a piece of meat that dishes out money to give it to some corporations that have made me and you brainwashed. That's all it is. They are taking money out of our pockets. And they know how to take money out of the pockets. They want to take it out of a little kid. You know what they do? They have a little bar of chocolate and they'll put Spider-Man on it. So the kid sees the chocolate and he goes, I want that, mommy, I want that. Why? Because it's Spider-Man chocolate. I want a Spider-Man chocolate. They want it. Why? Because of just that Spider-Man. That red, you know, the red suit with the blue suit. Partly red, partly he's got it like that. Yeah. He's another one. What's up? So he's on this little rapper, and they want it. They just got you hooked onto that. Why? Because of the image, and that image was on the screen, and that screen you watched the film, and you were you know, taken in with that, and you just want it. What did they want from you? They did not want you. They don't care about how much sugar you take inside yourself, or I take inside myself. They don't care about, you know, what health problems or issues you've got. They just care about how much money I'm going to take out of my pocket and I'm going to spend it. So there's guys out there who don't even think twice about the jeans that they're going to wear. They could wear a pair of jeans for 25, 30 quid, a decent, really good quality pair of jeans for 25 to 30 pounds, but they will not buy it because it doesn't have the label. And they will want a label, whatever label it is, They will want it and they'll pay £200 to £300 just for that label. There are sisters who buy handbags. And I heard this the other day, yeah? And I thought, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There are sisters that buy handbags for £200 to £300. True or not, guys, tell me. True or not, guys, tell me. No, I'm not going to tell you off, guys, yeah? True. They buy handbags £200 to £300. And I'm thinking, man, if a thief came, yeah? If a thief came, he wouldn't even bother whether there's anything inside there or not. If he takes the handbag, man, he's made money. He's made money. And forget that. The other day, somebody told me his sister bought a bag for £900. £900. I'm thinking, man, £900. You serious? What are you going to put inside there? Your false teeth. He said, what are you going to put inside there? What is wrong with you? £900 bag just to show a label to all the other women. It's like they'll hold that bag, yeah. They'll go somewhere, and it's like you know our sisters, yeah. Like we men, you know, we men something we're bad for, you know, like we're bad for you know, bad for using something. I'm not telling anyone to use that, yeah. Please, guys, yeah. I'm saying men are notorious for this, but you know what women are notorious for? Women are notorious for something else. I'll give you an example, yeah. In my house. Yeah, I've got two boys and I've got a girl. So you know, boys, the boys are boys, yeah. Sometimes they scramble with one another, you know, they want to like fight and or play fight and then it turns into a fight, yeah. So the girl's in the middle and sometimes she gets, you know, picked on or whatever, and then she'll come and she'll cry. And she'll, they did this, they did that, they did that. Okay, you go and get them to say sorry to one another, yeah. But the boys, yeah, both the boys come running to me. And they say, Baba, she did this. And I'm thinking, what's a girl done to you two boys here that you can't handle? They go, Baba, she looked at us like this. That's a girl's weapon, man. That's a girl's weapon. A girl's got a couple of weapons. One is her eyes. She will be in a gathering with that bag, yeah. She's just going to eye out another girl, yeah. She hasn't said anything. She's killing the other one. Seriously, she's got this bag, yeah, and that one, she's thinking, yeah, what are you talking about? £900, not that cheap, 60 quid, yeah? Yeah, and she won't say anything. She's just like, meow. And the other one, yeah, the other one's looking this way, yeah, and she's thinking, ah. It's all inside, you get me? They're all after one another, man. And what's the second weapon they got? They got this tongue, Allahu Akbar. When they bring you out, yeah, and when they lash, I tell you, even brothers, they do tawbah. They say, I went for a Jummah khutbah, yeah. It only lasted for 20 minutes, yeah. But your one is lasting for 2 days. You see what I'm saying? I'm doing tawbah. So they got the other one. So I'm telling, just as I'm telling the brothers not to use any of their, you know, physical strength against women, I'm telling the sisters, don't use your tongue against men. And don't you give those looks as well. You know, when a woman tells you in the house, she's just there. She just gives you the looks. And you say, what's the matter? Nothing. Nothing. You know that nothing means everything. You better. And you say, I'm just going to go over there and just go on then. Go. That go on then doesn't mean I give you permission to go. It's like, I dare you. I dare you. Don't do it. Understand? So people have different things here. So ultimately, what I'm trying to say to you guys here is that step by step, people with this music, with this other thing, you know what's happening is that they just want your money. That's all it is, brothers. Think about it, yeah? You know these wars across the world? You know, don't blame governments. Yes, we want to blame some governments. But you want to blame more than that, the corporations and the organizations behind the governments that manipulate them, manipulate the media just because of money. It's money, nothing else. They create a war because they need to sell weapons. They need to sell jet fighters. They need to sell tanks. They need to sell these ships. They need to sell ammunition. The more wars there are, they're making more money. They go into those countries, some of them, I'm not saying all countries do this, I'm not saying all governments do this. Some governments, they will go there because they just want what's underneath the earth. That's all they want. It's all about money again. My brothers, wake up. Sisters, wake up. If you're being caught in all of this, then don't get called in the wrong direction. And then let's talk about the topic of this whole thing. Talk is call of duty. Yeah, call of duty. There are people who are hooked on to this game and games like this, and they're basically playing. They're playing, and they think, you know, yeah, got ya, pow, 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 got ya, got ya. And they're talking to each other on the PlayStation to each other, right, through the internet. But they're wasting hours and hours and hours of this because they're just. It's just fun and games. But you know what's happened? You've been hit twice. Number one, you've spent and you're spending money, which is, yeah, okay, they wanted your money. You probably think, okay, 40 quid for a game, yeah? 50 quid, I gave that. So what? I can play as many times as I want. Fine, brother. You know that what's the most expensive thing anybody can ever take off you? More than money. Anyone tell me?
Time.
Time, thank you. Thank you, brothers. If the shaitan takes time off you, my brothers, sisters, and me, forget it. It's more than money. Money is not worth that much what time is worth. And shaitan's there to steal my time, steal your time. He wants to put me into things that I will not think about my akhirah. He doesn't want me to wake up about my real life. He doesn't want me to know what I'm missing out in the next life. He wants me to lose here, and he wants me to lose out there in the next life. And what happens is, he puts me in amusements, in games, into rivalries. He'll make one of you a Celtic supporter, one of you a Rangers supporter. is that the two that?
Yeah.
Have I got the right two? Yeah. Celtic and Rangers. Yeah, it's not two. Which two is it, brother? What is it?
Hearts and
Hibs. Hearts and Hibs. Yeah? Whoa. That sounds like the body, man. Heart and hips or something, man. What's going on there, brother, man? Are you doing some course in surgery or something? But anyway, look, let's just stick to sell, because you know what it is, you know, it's getting recorded here, and the guys outside, they won't know these Hearts and Hibs or whatever you got, yeah? They'll know Celtic and Rangers, because we hear about it, and it's quite big, right, the matches, yeah? He'll put one on this side, one on that side, and he'll just make you do tafakhur. What's tafakhur? It's like, you are so proud of being a Celtic supporter, so proud of being a Rangers supporter, that you know what? You get sucked into it, and your time is being snatched away from you. You did not realize it. Years go by. Rivals have. Now, you know when you win, it doesn't end there, does it? After the game, you're either going to get straight onto your phone and start cussing your friend badly, or you're going to hide your face under your blanket, brother. You're going to do one of the two things. Yes or no? You don't want to admit it, to do, right? After the match, yeah, you either want to pick up your phone because you want to cuss the other person, or you don't want to pick up the phone because you're getting cussed. So you're wasting more time. And it goes on. It's like, oh, we beat you 3-1. Oh, we gave you 3-0. Oh, you're rock bottom. And all the jokes start. You're on the bottom, man. You got smashed. You got done. You got smoked. You got gunned. You got whatever else they use. Yeah, it's all rivalry, tafakhur. And then the other thing, if it can get you into, is that you want to just talk about all the things that you've acquired. Yeah, funny story. The other day, this is a true story. Some guy, he owns a chain of restaurants in London. This is a true story. It was in the news, I think, 1 or 2 weeks ago. He owns a chain of restaurants. He's a millionaire. And basically, he's living in a council house, taking benefits. The guy needs a slap. I mean, what kind of is he? He's a millionaire and he's living in a council house. You know why? Because Allah said, يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ. He thinks his money is going to make him live forever. الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَال وَعَدَّدَ. He accumulates wealth and he carries on counting it. You know, some people, they love counting the money. Ooh, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100. He gets to 1,000. He gets to 10,000. And you know, he's online banking. He's always on his online banking. He's always looking at his shares. Click, 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 click. Oh, I got a few more pounds. Oh, adada. Keeps on counting it. But you know what? The silly thing is, Allah gave you money to spend it or to save it. What did he give it to you for? Spend it first. You save some for your rainy day. You don't save all of it. And Shaitan puts them into this rat race where they're earning so much that they could retire right now, but they don't want to retire. They just carry on accumulating. And you know what? The sad thing is, they come to the end of it and somebody else takes it. And they're gone. They're gone. They got called in the right direction, in the wrong direction. They went in that wrong direction and that was it. They're gone. And they don't, before they realize it, they've been taken. They've been taken. My brothers, my sisters, what I say to you is that wake up. Where are you being called? Because Shaitan is calling me and you, and Allah is calling me and you. These are the two calls. And just before I go into that, those two calls, I want to say to you, brothers, yeah, some of the people who are playing some of these games and they're hooked onto them, it becomes an addiction. And some of them are ruining exams because of it. Some of them are ruining their family life because of it. Some of them are ruining their akhlaq and their character because of it. And at the end of the day, some of them are ruining their akhirah because of it. It's an addiction. So you know, there's certain games come onto the smartphone, it becomes an addiction. And if you start playing it, you just have to, you know, now they're getting really smart. They're not making games. You know, before they used to make games that if you clock it, you just clocked it. You call it clock it as well? You call it clock it? You clocked the game, yeah? That means you finish the game. So they give you like 15 levels or 20 levels. Once you've done the 20 levels, it's finished. Now they don't do that. They make games where you have to go in again and again and you have to buy coins. Every time you play, they give you a few coins, virtual coins. And with those coins, you buy extras. And with those extras, you become more powerful. So they hook you, brother. They hook you. How? Because they know the psychology of what's behind you. Brothers and sisters, for you to buy a pair of shoes, they have done years of study. What you're going to buy. For you to buy a pair of clothes, they know what to actually get you, how to get you hooked onto that pair of clothes. They know what design thing you're going to go for. They know what film you're likely to watch. They know what, if they advertise whatever, that you'll go for them. The world is full of advertisement across the world. It's advertisements. Why? Because they want to take money out of our pockets. They want to waste our time sometimes. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, on the other hand, is calling us to what? He's calling us. Wallahu yad'u ila dari salam wa yahdi man yasha'u ila siratin mustaqim. Allah calls you to the abode of peace. Allah calls us to what? The abode of peace. And what does Shaitan call us to? Ash-Shaytan, in terms of the Shaitan, what does he call us to? On the Day of Judgment, Shaitan is going to get caught. And people will come to him and ask him and say to him, it was you. It was you. You called us.
قال الشيطان لما قضي الأمر إن الله وعدكم.
He will say Allah promised you and I promised you, and he will say
ما دعوتكم.
He said, whatever I called you towards, I called you what? I called you towards something that wasn't even true.
فَاسْتَجَبْتُمْ لِي,
and you answered to my call. I call you to a duty. You accepted my call. You tell me, Allah's calling you through the Quran, through the Sunnah, through the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, through the talks you have, through the imams, through the masjids, through the good people, through the people giving you da'wah. Allah's calling you through all of that. And I called you towards through the TV, through your smartphone, through the adverts, through the people around you, through your culture, through the rap artists, through the celebrities, through all of this, I called you. They called you through those, I called you through these.
فَلَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ.
Don't blame me, blame yourselves. Don't blame me, blame yourselves. My brothers, my sisters, we've been called in two different directions. Allah is calling us to Jannah.
وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَمَغْفِرَةٍ بِإِذْنِهِ.
And Allah calls you to Jannah. Allah calls you to the garden. Allah calls you to His forgiveness. And through His permission, He will forgive you and enter you into Jannah. Allah calls us to Jannah. Allah calls us to the abode of peace. Allah calls us to the right direction. My brothers, my sisters, If we make our choice going towards all of these other things, and our call of duty becomes that we're going to get called towards the shaitan, and we accept that, you know what will happen in the end? In the end, one day me and you will wake up. Either you wake up, you're lucky if you wake up in this dunya. You're lucky if you wake up while you're still in this dunya. The very lucky ones are, while they're young, they wake up. And they realize, you know what? It's not worth it. If not in your mid-20s, if not in your mid-30s, you wake up. If not in your mid-40s, you wake up. But one day you will wake up and you will have regret inside your heart. And if you haven't woken up by then, may Allah forbid, that you wake up at the time of your death. May Allah forbid that you wake up at the time of your death. What am I saying to you? My brothers, my sisters, my simple message is, Allah has sent a Quran down to us and has told us you are here for a mission. You are not here just for games and just for play. Yes, you can play a little bit. You can have amusement for a little bit, that's fine. Don't make it your life that you're in amusement all the time. Don't make it your life that you're looking for something to entertain you all the time. Because what will happen is, you will be at loss in the next world. Allah has already announced that. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٌ By time, I swear that every human being is at loss. Allah is telling all of us that we are at loss. All of us that we are at loss. La ilaha illallah. And those of us who are awake, those of us who do the right thing, we are the ones, inshallah, bi-idhnillah, we will make the right move for the akhirah. Let me give you a story. One of my teachers, a wonderful teacher, Mullah Fadhl Rahim. He's rahimahullah now, and may Allah have mercy on his soul. He passed away about a month ago. And Mullah Fadhl Rahim, you know, he was such a wonderful individual. Mawlana here, he knows, he was there with us in the madrasa. Mawlana Fadhl Rahim, you know, he would give everybody his time. And sometimes you think, well, how does he really give Allah his time when he's giving everybody his time? And sometimes you go there and you waste his time. Sometimes kids go there and they waste his time. So one day what happened is that Mawlana Fadhl Rahim, he went to a meeting in the madrasa. And in the meeting, he had to sit there for approximately 90 to 120 minutes. This was 1.5 to 2 hours he sat there in the meeting. This meeting, he told me later, he said most of it wasted his time. There was nothing productive coming out of the meeting. You know, it's like sometimes at work, you go to a meeting and there's nothing productive. People are saying things, but nothing productive is coming out. Sometimes it happens. So he said, this meeting, he goes to me, he said, Hassan, this meeting that I sat, 1.5 to 2 hours I sat there, he said, I didn't really get anything out of it. It was just talk and no fruit. Nothing was coming out of it. So I asked him a question. I said, Mawlana, I said to him, Sheikh, tell me, what did you do for those 1.5 to 2 hours? And I was very privileged and very lucky that he actually told me what he did, because he's not the type to advertise these things. He said to me, Hassan, he said, when I sat there and I was in the meeting, I stayed quiet and I let them speak. And during that 1.5 to 2 hours, I recited Surah Ikhlas 1,000 times. You know what this means, brothers? Sitting there reciting Surah Ikhlas, which is what? Which is only 4 ayats, 1,000 times. You know what that means? If you recite Surah Ikhlas 3 times, Allah will give you the reward of reciting the entire Quran. That's 3 times. Mawlana, in that one sitting, in 1.5 to 2 hours, because he knows the value of his time, despite the fact that people are wasting his time around him, Mawlana is patient, he's sitting down, he's quiet, he's you know, calm, and Mawlana has earned for himself the equivalent of reciting the Quran 333 times. La ilaha illallah. 333 times. And guess what? Not a single individual in the whole of the gathering knew that he did this. He just did it to himself. These are people who value what the reality is. You've got call of duty, my brothers, my sisters. You've got a call of duty from Allah and you've got a call of duty from the shaitan. You decide which way you go. You spend 1.5 to 2 hours in something, and I'm not saying this, look, sometimes we need entertainment, sometimes we need to refresh ourselves, sometimes we need a break from certain things, I understand that. You want to play a few games, that's fine, don't get me wrong with that. I'm not saying to you that you should come to the masjid and from tomorrow you're just going to go in that corner and you're just going to bang your head in the corner with a pair of beads. And I'm not saying to for you to like just suddenly go from one extreme to another. All I'm saying to you is that please take a measurement of what is happening with the two different calls. Because we're both being called. And slowly, slowly, you change to a certain direction. If you've got the value of the Akhirah in your heart, if you've got the value in your heart, then you know that you're supposed to use every moment you can to do what you can. And Allah Azza wa Jal has given us things in this life that we can do. So simple, so simple. I'm going to give you one thing to do, brothers and sisters. If you can do this, yeah. If you can do this, then you will be the richest person on the Day of Judgment. This is a Sahih Hadith in Muslim. He said, whoever does this, he will come or she will come on the Day of Judgment. And nobody on the Day of Judgment will have more reward than them. Subhanallah. Nobody will have more reward than them except if somebody has done the similar action to that or somebody has done more than that. And the action, you know what it takes? It takes 2 minutes in the morning and it takes 2 minutes in the evening. That's 4 minutes in a day. Tell me anyone who hasn't got 4 minutes in the day. 2 minutes in the morning, 2 minutes in the evening, and you haven't got that time to spare for your most valuable time in the future, if you haven't put your hands up. Okay. All you have to do is you have to recite Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi 100 times. What is it? Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. Which means Subhanallah means Allah is so pure. Allah is so pure. Allah is free from all blame. Allah is absolutely sublime. And wa bihamdihi means I praise Allah. Wa bihamdi, I praise Allah. So Allah, you are pure. You are absolutely pure and I praise you. Allah, you are pure and I praise you. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. You can do fast, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. If you do that, 2 to 2.5 minutes, you would have finished it, my brothers and sisters. And you come up on the Day of Judgment with the most reward more than anybody else. Will you do this, inshallah? This I've given to you. I'm not going to give you too many. Will you do this, inshallah? Take this, brothers. And what I want to say to you, I know we're going to delay the Isha slightly. If are you guys okay for me to spend a few more minutes? Tiga? A few more minutes. What I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, please. Their whole life has been summed up. Allah has summed the whole life up in what? In one verse. One verse of the Quran, Allah summed the entire life up. And that verse is in Surah Hadid. Allah says in the Quran, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. This is the whole of the life summarized. What does Allah say? يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ. Know that the life of this world is only play. وَلَهُوٌ, and it's amusement. وَزِينَةٌ, and it's trying to get things adored. Things that are sparkling. Things that are of admiration. Things that are adornment and make people see that glitter. So, laibun, games, play. Lahwun, being amused and entertained. Zinatun, adornment. Tafakhurun bainakum, it is one another, both one of you being proud over one another, over the other, because of something that you've got. takathurun fil amwali wal awlad. You are trying to compete one another to try and get as much wealth or as many children as you can. This is the whole of the life. Now let's look at it again. Do you not see young kids? Look how Allah's placed them. Number one, laibun. Play, just games, play. Do kids not love playing? Yes or no? Come on, guys, yes or no?
Yes.
Kids love games, play games. This is natural for them, number one. Number two, lahwun. When you get to teenage or near teenage, or when you get to your teens, you don't want to just play games. You want to be amused and entertained. And that starts from there, and that's a whole phase you go through. You want to be entertained. You want to be entertained with jokes. You want to be entertained with pranks. Do you call them pranks here?
Yeah?
Pranks? What do you call them? Pranks? Yeah? You want to be entertained by that. You want to be entertained by your friends. You want to show off sometimes and show them how you can amuse one another. The third one, tafakhur. It's mutual pride over one another. You know, I'm a Celtic supporter. I'm a Rangers supporter. I'm a this, I'm a that. My Pakistani cricket team is going to kill you. Kill you. You know, the other day some guy said, this is crazy, yeah? I saw a work colleague come inside and he looked tired. And I said to him, what's wrong with you? He said, no yaar. He said, I woke up early in the morning to watch the cricket. You know, Pakistan were playing. Yeah, I woke up early in the morning to watch the cricket. I was thinking in my mind, yeah, subhanAllah, I wish you told me that you woke up like that for tahajjud or something. You know, you wake up early in the morning for cricket. Yeah, loads of Pakistanis got up. Cricket, when you hit it, they hit it, they're shot. And some of them, oh, what a shot. They're so sucked into that, forget the religion, this is more important. But anyway, what I want to say is tafakhur. People with their cultures, you know, my culture is better than yours, my country is better than yours, my flag is better than yours. Tafakhur, pride. My wife is better than yours. Tafakhur, pride. My house is better than yours. My car is better than yours. Tafakhur, pride. Like, look at my car, look how it looks, man. Slick, man, slick. When I come out with my beast car out there, yeah? When I come out there, yeah? Your car starts to cry, man. Your car starts to cry. My car's so clean, yeah? You know, these guys, yeah, subhanAllah, their cars are more cleaner than their own bodies. I think the guy doesn't have that many ghusls, yeah, as many gives his car. Seriously, some of these guys, yeah, they get out in the morning and they wash that car and they dry it and they, you know, they'll put all that wax on the car and they'll make it look slick, yeah? I'm thinking, man, you should have had a shower in the morning, man. You needed a shower more than your car needed a shower. But anyway, it's all about fakhr. It's all about pride. What I've got, yeah? Next one is what? Allah says, takathur. It's like a rivalry to see, a competition to see who can gather more wealth. It's all about business then. So you know that? So look at it. When you're young, play. Then you want amusement. Then you get a bit older, then it's tafakhur. You know, you get into your late teens and your early 20s, it's all about tafakhur, pride. And then what did Allah say after that? He said takathur. Once you're in your mid-20s to your mid-30s, mid-40s, after that, what does it become? It becomes who's going to say how much wealth you got, how much jaidad you got, how many properties have you got, how much land have you got. That's all it's about. How much money you got in the bank, how much shares have you got, you know, how many bonds have you got, this bond, that bond, how much have you got? It's all about takathur, how much I can build up and show you that I'm bigger than you. I knock you out, I'm bigger than you. And then some people, of course, you know, in this part of the world, people are not like, you know, competing with one another with their kids here. How many kids they got? We've got that across the world. There are people who will compete with how many kids, how many betes they got. How many kids they got? The more kids they've got, the more bigger he is. There's people like that. And Allah says, that's your whole human race of all your ages summed up in one ayah. كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ. It is like a good field of crops, and the farmers look at it and they're so pleased. And then Allah sends the winds, and when He sends the winds and autumn time comes, فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا, you see that it's turned yellow and it's not as green as it looked. Green to yellow, it changes. The farmers are not happy with the yellow color. The farmers want green and really ripe, and they want to take it at that time. And Allah says, what? Your whole life is just like this. ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا. After that, ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. Then Allah will crumble it to pieces. All the harvest will be taken out, will be crumbled to pieces. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. O human beings, all of this life in front of you, you get sucked into that. Whereas in the Akhirah, you've forgotten that there's either of two, one of two things. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. In the next life, I have got severe punishment. وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. And the other thing is, I've got a lot of forgiveness and I've got a lot of pleasure. Which one will you earn? Will you earn my punishment or will you earn my forgiveness and pleasure? وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. And what does Allah say after that? سَابِقُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. O humans, be intelligent and run towards the forgiveness of your Lord. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ. Run and compete one another, not in the lust of this world, not in the wealth of this world, not in the pride of this world, not in the amusement and games of this world, not in showing one another what you've got, but compete one another to try and get to a garden I've created. عَرْضُهَا كَعَرْضِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. One small garden in Jannah will be the same width as what you've got from your earth to your sky. Just small Jannah. It's going to be what? As wide as from this earth to our sky. Allahu Akbar. Allah's telling us to compete towards that. My brothers, finally I'm going to say to you now, to get yourselves engaged, and this is going to, I'm literally going to spend another 5-7 minutes inshallah. After that we can do the adhan and have your share. You're probably thinking, well, how do I get towards that? How do I answer to the call of Allah Azza wa Jal? Well, what you've got to do is, we've got to do dhikr. Dhikr is the remembrance of Allah. If you do dhikr of Allah and you get your tongue and your mind, both of them engaged, that Allah is watching me and you're saying these words to Allah, Allah is watching me and you're saying these words to Allah. If you can get your tongue and your mind engaged, then you will see that your heart will make a reaction. And it will get soft and it will want to obey Allah Azza wa Jal. Are you ready to do some dhikr inshallah? Guys, are you ready to do the dhikr inshallah? Okay. If you please join me, yeah? And it's just the one-off I'm doing this. Maulana's not going to start a cult after me, yeah? He's not going to start a whole group or all of you are going to start, coming in this masjid and start doing it in rhythm, yeah? It's a simple thing that we want to engage ourselves and inshallah we'll have the adhan and isha salah. If you want to close your eyes, it might be better for you. If you don't want to close your eyes, no problem. I don't care. You don't have to, yeah? But it'd be nice. You can concentrate probably better. Get your tongue and your mind engaged with Allah Azza wa Jal. Brothers, sisters, join in. Allah, 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 Allah,
لا إله إلا الله 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 لا يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم يا ملك يا سلام يا سلام يا مؤمن يا مهيمن يا عزيز متكبر يا خالق يا بارئ يا مصور يا من له الأسماء الحسنى استغفر الله استغفر الله please join in استغفر الله 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 الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم استغفر الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم وأتوب إليه ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم Brothers and sisters, you get into a dhikr of remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, you forget everything. Just notice your minds right now. For those few moments, did you forget where we were? Yes or no? Go on, tell me, yes or no? Did you forget about the things around you? The troubles and the worries you left behind you. The dunya that was outside there, for those few moments you forgot it. This is how you start answering to the call of Allah. And you just say again and again, it's so beautiful. Allah, 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 Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. You think of no one except for Allah. Allah, 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 Allah. Brothers and sisters, this question, why does Allah create us when He knows that some of us are going to go to hellfire? To answer that question, first let's look at the problem. The problem is people think that if I have been created by Allah and I am going to do certain bad actions, and those bad actions Allah knows. He knew it before I was even born. He knew I was going to do them. And then after that, I carry on doing the bad actions, and then I die, then I get resurrected, then I get sent to hellfire. Now, people question, they say, how fair is that? How fair is that, that Allah knew this was all going to happen, and He still allowed it, and He did it, you know, the servant did it, and in the end, the servant ends up in hellfire. How is it fair? The first and foremost thing, brothers and sisters, is that there's a difference between Allah knowing something and Allah decreeing something. When Allah knows something's going to happen, He knows it's going to happen. He knows everything that's going to happen, that's fine. But if He decrees something, that means He made it happen. That means there was no choice except that that was going to happen. So, for example, when I'm in this world and I am going along my life, when I'm doing this, then Allah Azza wa Jal has given me some free will and He hasn't given me some free will. Some things Allah has absolutely fixed and I've got no choice but those things are going to happen. And other things Allah has given me a choice and I've got a free will. Those things that I've got a free will in and I decide to do something or not to do something, I'm going to be questioned on the Day of Judgment for those things. But the things that Allah made me do and it was going to happen no matter what, then, of course, in our minds right now, it's unfair that those things Allah made me do and then He's going to question me and say, why did you do it? Okay, which are the things in our lives that we've got free will, where we've got free will, and which are the things we don't have free will? We don't know. We will only find out on the Day of Judgment about those things. There are certain things that we've got no say in, and there are certain things we have got a say in. We've got a way to change things. So, for example, somebody came to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu and he said, how much free will have you got compared to how much Allah has determined for us? And he said, stand up on one leg. So the man stood up on one leg. He said, now while that one leg is in the air, lift the other one. He said, I can't. He said, that's your answer. Allah has given you free will to lift one leg up one leg up in the air without any support. For that one leg. Of course, there's another leg that's supporting your body. But you can't lift both of your legs up at the same time. That's the decreeing part. Allah hasn't given you free will in that. The first part, Allah's given you free will in that. Now, what I want to say to you, brothers, is yes, there is a thing between free will and what Allah has decreed. But let's look at it another way. This, inshallah, should answer the question. What most people do is, most people think from a rational world, from this world here right now, and they say, look, I'm a human being, I was made to come in this world, Allah made me, Allah knew everything that's going to happen, Allah made me do certain things, and then I get up on the Day of Judgment, and then I'm thrown into hellfire. It's not fair. Okay, that wasn't fair. Or certain people, they ended up on the Day of Judgment, they didn't accept Islam, whatever else happened, and then they go to hellfire for a very, 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 very long time. That's not fair. That's what people say. Yes or no, guys? That's what people say. Now, let's look at it backwards. To understand this, to get this to make sense, you have to look backwards. We're saying from this world, by projecting to the next world, we're saying things don't look fair. Allah says to us, project it from the akhirah to the dunya. How do you do that? Allah said in the Quran, La ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمِ, there is no oppression today about the Day of Judgment. Allah has said about the Day of Judgment, الْيَوْمَ لَا تُظْلَمُ نَفْسٌ شَيْئًا. Today, no soul shall be oppressed by even the least in any matter. Allah said there's no oppression on the Day of Judgment. That means that everything on the Day of Judgment is going to be fair. It's going to be absolutely fair. Everyone who ends up on the Day of Judgment will say everything Allah did was fair. That's how you look backwards. So now something's gone wrong in the way we've seen it from this world to the next world, instead of seeing what Allah is saying on the Day of Judgment. So let's look at a quotation of somebody on the Day of Judgment. On the Day of Judgment, certain people will say, who will go to hellfire, they will say, Rabbana, O our Lord, Absarna, we've seen everything. Sami'ana, we've heard everything. Fa'atarafna bidhnubina, we've admitted that we were at fault. Farji'na, just send us back. نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوْقِنُونَ, we will do good actions, we are absolutely convinced that everything was fine. And hear their words. Allah is telling us the words of the people on the Day of Judgment. In fact, people in hellfire will say that, they won't say, nobody on the Day of Judgment, nobody in hellfire, even the people at the time of death don't say, Allah, it wasn't fair. It wasn't fair. You made us do it, and then now you're telling us that we're going to go to hellfire. It wasn't fair. You knew we were going to do this, and now you're going to do this. It's not fair. La ilaha illallah, my friends. This is not how it works. Yes, Allah knew the actions that we're going to do, but He didn't make us do every single action where we've got no free will. Yes, we did actions. And Allah said in the Holy Quran, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, that whatever you will, Allah has got a will as well for that action. What does that mean? That means that you cannot do any action without Allah giving the permission for that action to actually happen. So an example of that is, you want to eat some food, you're trying to eat the food, there is an angel here that asks, should I allow the food to go inside? You can't swallow the food unless Allah gives you permission to swallow the food. That's fine. But you wanted to eat it, so you made the intention to eat it, you ate it, just because Allah gave permission to the angel to open the right pipe so that your food goes inside your stomach, doesn't mean that it was His fault that you ate haram. Whether you chose haram food or halal food was your business. It was you that made that choice. You ate that. Yes, Allah's will was, whenever you want to eat, if He wants to stop you, He can stop you. If He wants to stop you from eating, or if He wants to stop you from going through your throat, He can do that. But Allah Azza wa Jalla is not going to just stop anyone because we are in an examination hall. Now let me give you one last scenario to understand this question. If I say to you guys, what's 2 plus 2? What's the answer? What's 2 plus 2? 4. Now, if I say to you what's 2 plus blank equals 4, what's in the blank? 2. Okay, you all got that, yeah? If I say to you blank plus blank equals 4, what's the answer? Is it 2 plus 2? 3. It could be 2 plus 2, it could be 3 plus 1, it could be 1 plus 3, and it could be 4 plus 0, or it could be 0 plus 4, or it could be minus 1 plus 5. Or 5 plus minus 1, or it could be minus 2 plus 6, or 6 plus minus 2. You understand that? Yeah? It gets a bit, yeah? You got blanks there. Yes, you got a 4. Just because you got a 4, you're making an absolute conclusion that, what, it's 2 plus 2? Just because you always saw 2 plus 2, and now you're seeing 2 plus blank? Well, yeah, we know that's 2. Now we're seeing blank plus blank equals 4. You're just going to say 2 plus 2? You can't. Anyone who's done maths, you can't. Anyone who's done maths knows that you can't do that. So what's happening here is that we say, we've been born here, I'm a human being, Allah gave me, you know, He made me do certain things, He knew everything that's going to happen, I'll end up on the Day of Judgment, and then I'll go to hellfire. It's not fair. That's like saying blank plus blank equals 4. It's not fair. Allah hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. You're saying it's not fair by saying it's 4. Imagine 4 means it's not fair. And 5 means it is fair. Allah is saying to us right now, I've already declared to you on the Day of Judgment, everything's going to work out to be fair. Everything, everyone on the Day of Judgment, all the human beings, all the jinns will say everything was fair. Now, what's happening is we are assuming things where there are blanks and we're filling them in. What does that mean? That means some people will have a genuine excuse for the Day of Judgment. We don't even know about that. And we're just basically saying that it's not fair. Some people might turn up on the Day of Judgment and they'll say, you know, I wasn't even told about Islam. And if Allah decides that He wants to take them to Jannah, we know from our records that Allah could send them to Jannah. If some people turn up on the Day of Judgment and Allah wants to have mercy on them, just mercy and bounty on them, that's another thing we haven't taken equation for. He just wants to let them off. Just say, go to Jannah. There are hundreds of verses and ahadith that tell us about Allah's mercy. That there's no limit to Allah's mercy. We haven't taken that into account. We haven't taken into account the fact that you had strong genes of a certain type, and Allah might be lenient because those strong genes, whether Allah might not be lenient, we don't know. The thing is, we don't know. We are assuming. So the thing is, we've got to work backwards. How you work backwards is, if you say we're absolutely certain that it's going to be, the answer is equals. After the equals means it is going to be fair. So there's a five there. It's fair, five. And then before that, we're saying 2 plus 2. We're saying, no, it's got to be 2 plus 2. There was a blank plus blank, and it was an equals 5. And we said, no, it's got to be 2 plus 2. It's got to be 2 plus 2 equals 5. Look, it's not fair. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Allah could have so many different parts there that He could fill those blanks in. We don't even know what is going to be the case on the Day of Judgment, how many blanks. And with Allah Azza wa Jal, you know what? There are so many things to fill in. Where you was born, how you was brought up, who are your friends, your genes inside you, your DNA, how Allah created you with your emotions, how strong your emotions were, how weak your emotions were, you know, who you met, what you did, what kind of things you went through in life. All these things are numbers. It's like a 2 plus 1 plus 3 plus 2 plus 1 plus 5. And there's so many blanks that we haven't even taken any of that. And then there's Allah's mercy, Allah's bounty, Allah is the avenger. He can take you to task. All these things we don't know. And the equal sign after that we say it's not fair. My friend, just stop it, okay? You haven't even seen the Day of Judgment. You haven't even gone to the Day of Judgment. And you're sitting here taking a shaitan's waswasa and an injection inside you. And you're saying it's not fair. Everything is fair. Allah said that. Now you work backwards. Something you don't know in your equation, in your little head, your limited head, you don't know, you can't work out, I can't work out. And because of that, we're reaching conclusions. And I'm saying to you, brother and sister, forget it, leave it. Just have your iman and have your faith that it is all fair. When Allah has said in the Quran, there is no dhulm, no oppression, that means there is fairness, absolute fairness on the Day of Judgment. How Allah will reach that, we don't know. There could be non-Muslims on the Day of Judgment who get up, and Allah may forgive some of them because of them not having Islam come to them, or because of a distorted Islam. Who knows? I don't know. You don't know. We don't know. Yes, we do say in our books of Aqidah that they should have gone and find out about Islam. But how do you know what Allah might do or might not do with some of them? Yes, some of them will go towards hellfire. Some Muslims will go towards hellfire. But when they get there, every person in hellfire says, I admit to my wrong. And Allah has described that in the Quran. So that's final. May Allah Azza wa Jal save us from this waswasa. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us of those people who have our faith in this, and we know everything's going to be fair. So why did Allah create us? And how do we end up in hellfire? We leave that to Allah. All we know, we've got to do good actions until inshallah, bi-idhnillah, we reach the Day of Judgment and everything will be fair then. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.